Welcome back to another edition of Unfiltered, part of the Santa Muerta Podcast Network. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm Ben, and I'm the guy who writes the Weekly Dump, that vibrantly honest weekly online column about life in Santa Cruz, California. It's published every Thursday night over on www.santamuerta.com. Go check it out if you're not familiar with it. It's time to spring forward and fall back as we say goodbye to winter and hello to hopefully less rain and warmer days ahead. Spring break is right around the corner, and that means an influx of tourists to Santa Cruz, some visiting for the very first time. And there's nothing like seeing a great big pile of dirty laundry as soon as you come off the freeway. Can't sweep that human septic tank under the rug anymore. And let's not forget, that new Jordan Peele movie, Us, is coming in next week. You think that'll generate more interest in people visiting Santa Cruz for the first time? Of course it will. And we welcome all these thousands of visitors in the coming weeks with what? A nice, clean, safe town? Nah. We offer up a clogged toilet that's overflowing into the San Lorenzo River and washing out to the bay. Could have prevented this from ever happening if our city manager and our city council had a spine. But they don't. And here we are. The big talk this week is not so much about shutting it down, but about moving it. As in moving it out of sight. Good luck there. Good luck finding any neighborhood willing to bear this burden alone for the good of the city or the county. They tried this already. It failed. It's why we are where we are today. They tried to move the River Street campground after it basically burned through way too much money. And instead of leaving, going into shelters, dispersing the camp, they just allowed people to move a few blocks onto a different piece of property. There's so many people who are responsible for this mess, including our police chief, who seems more interested in reinterpreting the law than enforcing it. This week's city council meeting, city staff came up with 6 possible locations to move the squatters to. Or in reality, 6 options as alternative places to legally squat since the city is clueless about fixing this. Here's the city's head of economic development, Bonnie Lipscomb, revealing the 6 sites, with very little public notice and no public input on these locations, at the last city council meeting.
One water property that's off of High Street, that's actually between the two churches off High, and this was a former reservoir site. The tanks have been removed. It could potentially be a good safe parking site. It's a site that's about 12,000 square feet. The usable area is about 8,000 square feet. It's worth a deeper look at that site. We have a site that's the Wharf Courtyard that is in the lower part of your screen. It's roughly 2 acres. Some challenges on this site is that we have just the title is clouded. We need to look at that and make sure we actually have site control with that site. We have two parking lots. One is located fairly close to the police station, back behind Washington Street. It's north of Depot Park. Obviously, there's some challenges with being anywhere near the park with that sort of concentrated use that we would need to look further at. But that is one site that, again, has has about 8,700 square feet to look at. And then we have parking lot, and that's called parking lot 24, for those of you who are looking more closely at our parking map. And then we have parking lot 17, which is adjacent to the river. That is a linear site. It's actually about 12,000 square feet. It has some potential. It, again, has some challenges. It is located adjacent to the Kaiser Arena. So there's some compatibility uses. We also have a use agreement for handicapped spaces during game events. So we need to look at the time usage of that. And then finally, the last two sites are park sites to look at more closely. We, in the past, looking at circling the up there is the San Lorenzo Park, and there would be some analysis on, I think, the Upper Benchlands area that Susie might want to go into more detail on that. And then the final site to look at is the site off of East Cliff, a portion of the lower side of Jesse Street Marsh. So those are the initial six sites. Again, none of them, all of them have constraints. They are the sites that the city owns that we think from the initial pass are most suitable, but that doesn't mean that that we believe we should go forward with any of these sites at this time, but we are looking for some more feedback from you on those.
So I'm going to break this down and give my two cents about each location and how the best possible location isn't even being mentioned here. The first location is on High Street, between Peace United Church of Christ and High Street Community Church. It has about 8,000 usable square feet. It's apparently a secure site with some utilities. And it's somewhat out of sight with limited visibility. My take on this location is it has the benefits of being nestled between two different churches, and this will result in twice as much oversight. Neither church is going to allow it to become a free-for-all drug camp like it is now. And it's close to UCSC and major bus lines. The con is obvious. It sucks for the neighbors, who apparently are already organizing to fight this location. But as a choice, it's somewhat viable. The second location is in a city-owned parking lot behind the SCPD main station between Washington and Chestnut Streets. It offers about 9,000 square feet of parking lot. It's being considered, I guess, as a safe parking zone, not a camp per se. This location doesn't work on a number of levels. It's unsecure, meaning there's no fence with limited entry and exit. It's right in the middle of a residential neighborhood and adjacent to Chestnut Street Apartments residence parking lot, which has a gate that is always open right now, but I'm sure would be permanently closed if this happened. It's also a pay lot, meaning the city actually generates parking revenue from this location. I doubt they want to give up future revenue if other locations that don't generate parking income are available. So as a choice, I'd give it a big no. The third location is near the corner of Laurel and Front Streets in a parking lot behind Wheelworks. This area is about 13,000 square feet of parking lot. But again, the location itself is terrible. It's unsecure. It literally backs right up to the Riverwalk. Imagine that. And it's right at the entrance to downtown. It would become a shit show just based on location alone. So I'd give this one a big no too. The fourth location is at the Jesse Street Marsh. My first choice. It's in Chris Crone's backyard. Literally. Say no more. Put up or shut up this clown. He and his wife will fight this to no end if necessary. I mean, if they're willing to fight low-income housing for the mentally ill going in at the same location, they'll fight anyone or anything. Bring on the hypocrisy. This area offers a whopping 33,000 square feet of space for squatters to homestead, a patch of nice dry swamp. Although I've heard it's underwater right now. But that's okay. Once it's dry, it should be considered as a viable option. Location 5 is located on the benchlands of San Lorenzo Park. Seems familiar. It's called Camp Coonerty. We've been there, done that, and failed miserably. Well, let's fail again. The definition of insanity. failing at the same thing over and over and expecting different results. It's a terrible option for too many reasons to list. The only pro to this location is it puts it back next to the county building, and that's about the only way Ryan Coonerty will acknowledge the issue, and even then, he'll ignore it and look the other way. And location 6, the last option presented, is basically right next to Depot Park on land the city and the wharf currently use to store machinery and equipment. There is a secure fenced-in area, but it's too small to accommodate a camp. And the other surrounding area is just dirt and mud adjacent to the railroad tracks. Terrible location. Who's the genius that came up with this one? Does the city really want the Big Trees Railroad packed full of tourists, making multiple passes directly through a homeless camp as it goes between Felton and the boardwalk? Oh, hell no. Let's be real. People already squat and camp here with the chief's apparent blessing anyways. So of all these 6 locations, I count basically 2 as somewhat viable. High Street and the Jesse Street Marsh. Neither location is good. Both will inevitably piss off and rally the neighbors to stop it before it gets started. And then we're back at square one all over again. So here's the biggest problem in all this. I'll say it for the umpteenth time. The county is responsible for social services, and specifically homeless services. Where the hell is the rest of the county in all this? Why do we have to pick from 6 locations within the city limits, and nothing is offered outside the city? Why? Because as usual, the city is flying solo here, without a safety net as usual. Where are the county options for this? Hell, where are the county supervisors in this? Any of them. Anyone. Crickets is all we seem to get from the county here. So it's time for a quick break. When I come back, I'll talk other options. County options. Including the best option that isn't even being mentioned. Be right back.
Chain of 9. stars, nine mysteries.
Unfiltered by Ben Dover on the Santa Mierda podcast.
I'm back. Thanks for sticking around. It's talking about possible options outside the city for this homeless camp / safe parking area. Talked at length in a previous podcast about what I think should be the top of the list in terms of locations. The old Skyview Drive-In off Soquel. It's a secure location with walls and a gated entrance. Has on-site bathrooms, it's outside of the city limits, and it sits empty 5 days a week. And it's run by Goodwill. Seems like a no-brainer for the no-brains planning all this. And the city owns property up at Skyview in Scotts Valley, too. It's near a major metro stop with parking. Lots of space. Why hasn't that been mentioned? Where's the collaborative county approach to all this? It's missing. It's the city and our narcissistic part-time city council wanting to play God as usual, with no plan and no plan to pay for it. Let's face the reality of the situation. Nobody wants this in their backyard. You might get a handful of progressive knobs who say they would, but they speak for themselves and not their neighbors. And they're honestly just talking shit. After a couple weeks, they'd be the first ones calling SCPD to complain. Our approach to dealing with this issue is disgraceful and inhumane. Willful ignorance won't make it go away. People say, where are they supposed to go? I say, that's what we pay these fools to figure out. Why are you asking me? You won't like my answer. It's not politically correct. It doesn't enable. A camp that is a breeding ground for serious communicable diseases, substance abuse, and environmental degradation of our river, bay, and ocean is just not an acceptable option, even in the short term. And we're going on 6 months now and counting. Harm reduction needs to be more than handing out 10 packs of needles to help people die faster. Anyone dismissive of the impact of this large drug camp has on public health and safety is plain and simply a moron, and I have no time for stupid people. We have more than enough of them cooking up their failed agendas in the community kitchen on this issue. So according to Dr. Arnie Leff, who's basically in charge of the County Health Services Department and also in charge of the county's endless Free Needles for Junkies program, the effects of dirty syringes cost taxpayers millions of dollars each year. In 2018, he stated that the 282 patients at Santa Cruz's Emmeline Clinic cost the medical program $52 million. That's right, I said million. And 10 patients accounted for half that cost. That number is just mind-numbingly stupid and staggering. 10 junkies cost the taxpayers of Santa Cruz $26 million in 2018, according to Arnie Leff. This is according to the head of our county's health services department that administers the program. Can I get an audit here? Something is seriously wrong with either those numbers, Arnie's cognitive skills, or the county health services department. This is pretty scandalous if it's true, and worthy of a much deeper investigation. And speaking of Arnie Leff, he also wrote a letter to the city council calling out Camp Bernal as a public safety hazard that needs to be shut down immediately. I think he could actually shut it down by declaring a public health emergency, but he seems unwilling to do that. Why not? We proclaim public emergencies for everything else. Everything, but what's an actual emergency here? One of the issues he's particularly concerned with is rats. Literally, vermin and the disease they carry and spread. Other people here treat this concern like it's a joke, like it's overblown when the county health services head declares the human pigsty a public safety hazard. Laughing at rats and viruses just makes you look stupid. Idiot compassion personified. Keep laughing, Chewbacca. I have no idea how many people are laughing at you. And I heard this from a friend who was concerned about animals living in Camp Bernal. They called the Santa Cruz Animal Shelter and Animal Control about the concern of parvo and was told it was, quote, fake news before they apparently hang up on them. What a dysfunctional shit show we have here in our warm California sun. Boardwalk! The masses are coming, and we have our collective ass hanging out to greet everyone, making our city proud. So coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about the last city council meeting, maybe a few things in the next dump. Stick around, and in the meantime, enjoy a little ear candy while I'm gone. At the last city council meeting, it was brought to the public's attention by the good Dr. Leff from County Health Services that between 200 and 600 needles are being distributed to Camp Bernal daily under what they call harm reduction. Is that an oxymoron? Unfortunately, no. It's just an illegal needle handout administered by a moron. Arnie also brought up the massive infestation of rats and fleas. Does that make it a flea market? No, it's a drug market. An open-air drug market. Call it what it is. Rats and fleas are ingredients for toxic stuff like the bubonic plague. Living in close capacity without proper sanitation or hot water for proper washing breeds stuff like cholera, typhus, and hepatitis. Camp Bernal is a dirty, nasty petri dish of disease, and the county and city just keep looking the other way. Of course, lots of the same old kooks showed up to complain. Trust funder Bob Noyes was blowing his usual flatulence. One guy did show up and accomplish the rare task of shutting everyone up. You can hear a pin drop during his 4 minutes. Bravo, Manuel. Your speech was righteous, and I'm in your corner and at your disposal. So anyone who missed it the first time, here's his 4 minutes in its entirety.
So we'll go ahead and move forward then with Manuel Prado on behalf of the West Side Neighbors, and you'll be given 4 minutes.
All right, well, thank you very much, particularly the last woman that spoke. My heart goes out for her, No one deserves to live in fear like that. I want to address a couple points. The first is, yeah, we keep mentioning Seattle as a success story. Seattle spends $1 billion a year on their homeless. They've got 11,000 people, so I don't know, that's what, roughly $90,000 per? I don't know if we have that tax base. Now, if you take it a step further and you sort of look, you say, all right, well, have they had any success? The property crime rate in Seattle is 2.5 times that of Los Angeles, 4.5 times that of New York. To me, that does not sound like a model that we would want to follow. Now, if you follow the research, recently 63% of those people in Seattle refused lodging. The primary reason was because there are too many rules. Now, another perspective here is that 40 to 50% of the people in San Francisco and Vancouver that are homeless claim they are there because of the generous offerings they have for homeless people. So, most of all, I just want to really make clear here that what we're trying to do through compassion here is actually the cruelest measure we could possibly take. Anyone here that has ever dealt with someone with an addiction problem knows that what we're talking about here is actually considered enabling. We're making the problem worse. Now, the problem is there from a drug addiction problem as well as mental health. Right, we heard Dr. Left say that over 50% were injecting drugs. 39% of these people have mental health problems. They need help. We need to provide them professional assistance. We don't need to provide them a way to perpetuate this lifestyle that's not helping them in any way. Could I please have quiet back there?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. So the other point that I just want to make is the reason I'm here today is I'm a father. And the reason more people in my position aren't here today is because they're putting those kids to bed right now and they're taking care of them. They're looking out for the safety of those children. I'm fortunate enough that I could find somebody in my life that can fill in for me while I come to take care of this matter that really, really matters to myself and the rest of my community. My kids don't get to vote. No kids around here get to vote. But what we're talking about is a measure that is going to remove the safe places for them to play. Lastly, I'd just like to ask that we all respect the democracy that we're so lucky to have here. I'm sure everybody abhors what's going on at a federal level. But let's look at what's going on right here. What we're talking about, this state of emergency, It's ridiculous. I ask you to please go by the same measures that everybody else has to go by here. Let's vote on these things. Let's have hearings. Let's research it. Thank you for your time.
Well, I've got two words for you after all that. Vibrantly honest. Three words if you count the F-bomb version. He checks all my boxes with that speech. It's even better on video. Ultimately, nothing was decided. Now we've got some kind of special study session next week to argue about it some more. Meanwhile, the status quo rolls on, and the county tries to stay out of the city's self-inflicted mess. And in the next weekly dump, we've got more of the same vibrantly honest stories you won't read about in the paper or see on the local news. Had a nasty crash over by Harbor High involving a two-seat car with four teens inside. The driver, unlicensed, plowing into a van and sending at least one teen on a flight over the hill to a trauma center. Got some guy busted for welfare fraud while running an illegal pot delivery service in Scotts Valley. Got a bike thief who had to be rescued from the dumpster he was hiding in. And we'll have a bunch more similar stories to bring you by next Thursday, because after all, this is Santa Cruz. And don't forget, we've got live music here, in addition to all the madness. Good live music, in fact. And cool places to enjoy it. We have a wealth of great music playing pretty much every day of the week, locally. Let's not lose it. Please support local musicians and clubs that support them. It's one of the few really excellent things we have going on for us here. Here are a few choice selections for the coming week on our music calendar.
This is the entertainment report for the week of March the 17th. Tuesday, Michael's on Main, Brand X at 7:30. Wednesday, at the Catalyst, Flogging Molly at 8 p.m. And at Michael's on Main, Blue Summit. Thursday, at Moe's, Broken English at 8:30. And Michael's on Main, we have Christy McCarthy at 7:30. Friday at Moe's, we have Poor Man's Whiskey at 9 p.m. Saturday at Michael's on Main, Special Fun, 8 p.m. Sunday at Moe's, Lydia Pence and Cold Blood at 4 p.m. If you have suggestions, please email entertainment@santamierda.com. And as always, please do support live music.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Unfiltered. Don't forget to check out the latest weekly dump published every Thursday over on www.santamierda.com. And check out all of our podcasts on the Santa Mierda Podcast Network on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, and Google Play. Thanks again for lending me your ears. We'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. And remember, get what you're willing to tolerate. Adios.
Here we go. One step at a time, don't be living on the line. I don't need a friend. I got morbid on my mind. Sunshine in my brain, making everyone complain. Radio in the heart, don't be being so strange. Think I'm losing it. Baby, where have you been? Everybody says that you're moving again. I don't wanna be right, baby, every single night. And I can tell you one thing about taking your time. It's making me nervous.